is the one you work all your life right here.
For Bavaro, touchdown.
Under pressure, and he's sacked by Michael Strahan.
I will always remember the Giants fans.
Welcome to another edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Popper from the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. After winning Super Bowls in 1986 and 1990, the New York Giants began transitioning their roster in 1992. They selected a defensive end out of the University of Pittsburgh named Keith Hamilton. He was to continue the Giants' dominant defensive ways. Hamilton would serve as a bridge between the Giant championship teams and a new era. And he always added a lot of colorful personality in his time with the Big Blue.
So, Keith, in 1992, you're drafted in the fourth round, 99th pick by the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. What's going through your mind when you find out that the Giants take you?
Well, actually, I was supposed to go in the first round. And I got an injury that moved me to the fourth round. But I was so happy to just to be getting drafted at the time because they hadn't called me in so long. So I was just ready to go.
What about, I mean, the Giants had won their second Super Bowl in 1990. Mm-hmm. So you're in college at the time. What's going through your mind? Like, man, I'm going to play with the Giants.
When I walked into the locker room, the first person I saw was Lennon Marshall and LT. And I was like, oh, my God. You know, I just couldn't believe it because they were my childhood heroes.
Growing up and knowing about the Giants, being from the area, did you feel added pressure?
I was born in Patterson, so I was coming back home. And I was just happy to be back and ready to go play.
All right, it's 1992. The team does not have the kind of year that they're hoping for. There's quarterback controversies. There's all kinds of chaos. What are you saying to yourself at that point?
I'm saying I got to make it. You know, I can't worry about the quarterback situation because I had gambled. I had left school early. And, so I really was thinking about what I needed to do to hang around.
Who helped you the most that rookie year?
I'd probably say Pepper Johnson. He just was a good role model. He was a good guy and always told me to keep fighting.
All right, so you get through your rookie season and all of a sudden 93 comes. The coach is gone. Coach Reeves comes in. They start turning over the football team at that point. Did you feel like you were starting almost over again?
Yeah, I did, because they were phasing out the older guys, and we were the younger guys. And they were trying to make a transition to the young people. And, you know, they were rebuilding.
That 93 season, Reeves' first year, you still, though, have Phillip quarterback and Lawrence. What was it like to play with Lawrence Taylor?
He was a great guy. You know, what I don't think a lot of people really realize is he would give you the shirt off his back. And he was just a pleasure to play with. You know, the LT that I knew, he was a great guy.
And just like his Giant predecessor, Hamilton would terrorize opposing quarterbacks across the NFL, recording a career-high 11.5 sacks in 1993. But none more memorable than in the final game of the season versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Aikman looking left, looking right. Hit by Hamilton, sack, 40-yard line. Great play by Keith Hamilton.
My first sack of Troy Aikman. I will never forget that. And I felt like I had arrived.
The Hammer had certainly burst onto the scene, and Hamilton would help Big Blue experience some playoff success that year as well, as the Giants beat the Vikings at home in the 1993 wildcard game.
So it's fourth down. Sack. Sack by Hamilton. McMahon again, struggling to his feet.
Great effort by LT and Keith Hamilton, and these fans are going to be thrilled at the turnaround season that Dan Reeves and his coaching staff have given them. Tremendous game and a great victory.
Now you move to 94, and now Sims is gone. Mm-hmm. LT is retired. And now you're starting with a young quarterback. How difficult was it at that point to really, you're making your third transition in 3 years, mm-hmm. from one staff in 92 to a new staff in 93 to the real leaders of the team, Sims and LT, gone in 94.
Right.
What was that like?
That was a big, big turning point for me, you know, because it was a couple guys, and we knew we had to take the leadership role coming in. So it was very big. But it was something that I embraced, you know, because my performance on the field dictated kind of that I was moved into the leadership role. And so I embraced it.
94, 95, 96, you guys don't make the playoffs, and it's some tough years. But in the middle of all that was really the rebuilding of the Giants' defense. Did you get a sense as they kept drafting younger players and bringing in more defensive guys that this defense could really evolve into something special?
Yes, I did. I knew that they were putting the pieces together that we needed to be successful. They drafted Strahan. They drafted Jesse Armstead. The Giants were known for defense, and the defense was starting to come together.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Keith the Hammer Hamilton. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Keith the Hammer Hamilton.
Broke the mold. Keith Hamilton is one of a kind. There's only one hammer. He is the most unique individual. I love that dude like I love myself.
Hey, Hammer, big time, baby. Big time right there.
The nickname Hammer.
Right.
It's stuck forever. Yeah. Where'd it come from? How'd it start?
Started at the University of Pittsburgh. Hit a guy from Mississippi State one time and almost split him in half. And then my teammates just started calling me that.
But it stayed in the NFL, so it must have meant you earned it.
Yeah, well, I worked hard, man, and I tried to compete.
Let's get it in here, D-line. Let's go. Let's go, D-line. Let's lock a load on their ass tonight, buddy. Let's go. Let's like the playoffs, dog. 125%. I'm coming all night, Big Daddy.
I hear you.
You're not going to run on me. Ready, just...
Hey, great job, Hammer. That's the way to play football, man. Nice job.
For me, I took pride in stuffing the run, and I knew we had the people to get after the passer. And one of the best coaches that ever coached me was Earl Leggett. Coach Howie Long, coached me in Strahan. And, you know, the thing he said, I don't want my defensive tackles leading the pass rush. I want my defensive tackles stuffing the run, and I want my defensive ends leading the pass rush. He said, if the defensive tackles lead the pass rush, we got a problem on this day.
All right, so, you know, you're a pass rusher coming out of the University of Pittsburgh.
Right.
They want to move you inside.
Right.
Tell me how you dealt with that.
It was tough at first because I had never really played inside. But the coach told me that he felt like I could be a real force inside because most of my plays had come from when we were running a 3-4, they would move me down inside over a guard. So I was able to be successful. And then the transition came about, and I did well. It took me about a year or two to learn how to play it. But once I got down there inside and started mixing it up, because when you're inside, things happen a lot faster. You have two guys on you sometime. You have somebody blocking back, the other guy pulling. So once you get in there, you get the hang of it. I took pride in stopping the run.
Tell me what it was like playing with Michael Strahan for all the years that you played with him.
He was a great player. He loved to compete.
Let's go to work, baby. Let's go to work.
We kind of pushed each other. You know, it was kind of a competition thing, but we always respected each other and enjoyed playing with him for many years.
Come on, let's go look for a fight today. Let's go look for one. You can't find that star one. Let's go.
What about Jesse Armstead? What was it about Jesse that made him special?
He was a guy that gave it everything he had all the time. And that's something that you could always count on him for. And he was a guy that was never out of place. He was a student of the game and really played exceptionally well for us.
Jason Sehorn's a guy that developed. But when he first came to the Giants, they weren't really sure where to play him. You know, they had him at corner. They had him at safety.
Right.
Did you see something in him that, like, eventually when this guy gets it, he can make something?
He was incredible. He was an exceptional athlete. And it was just phenomenal to see. I mean, he had, I think, like a 45-inch vertical leap. He went in the weight room. He'd do 365, 385 for a DB. It was just amazing. He was phenomenal. I mean, I had never seen a guy do what he did. He ran like a 4.2. He really just was an amazing guy.
What was it like at the end of the 96 season when you knew that you know, the next year you're probably going to have to be dealing with yet another change.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be your third head coach
right.
since you've been in the league since 92, third head coach in 5 years. Were you upset that another change was coming?
No, I really wasn't, because I always knew that this was a business. But I also took it in stride. It was another opportunity that we could prove ourselves and we could move forward. And when I heard John Fox was coming in, I played under him at the University of Pittsburgh. So I was excited to be playing for him once again.
What is it about Foxy that made him such a good defensive coordinator?
He just let us go. You know, he let us play. It was like contained aggression. He would send guys. He would have line stunts. We would always be moving. And it was just an attacking style defense that people had a hard time dealing with, because we could stuff the run, too. We stuffed the run, and we got after the pass. We had Strahan coming off the end. We had Chad Bradsky. We had some players. So we controlled the tempo of most games up front.
Did you get a sense that this team was turning the corner, you know, as you started the 97 season?
Yes, I did, because we had Fossil had just came in. We had Fox, and we knew what we had to do. We knew what they expected from us, and we were coming together. We loved the defense. It was an attacking-style defense, and Fossil came in with some new plans for us with the offense, so we were moving along in the right direction.
You know, you guys just win and you win. They change quarterbacks. Cannell comes in, but it seems to all be working out.
Mm-hmm.
You wind up winning the division, clinching the division against the Washington Redskins at Giants Stadium. What did that feel like to finally get back sort of in the winner's circle?
It felt great, because we were taking over in the conference. We were playing well, and it was just a good feeling. We were kicking some behind.
With that said, how disappointed were you with what happened in that Minnesota playoff game?
Of course, that was one of the worst losses of that I can remember. The way they came back on us. I don't know how many points they scored in that fourth quarter. I don't remember, but it was crazy. And it was very upsetting, because I know how hard we had worked. And I thought we really did have the defense to go all the way. And it was just one of those things where we weren't able to be successful that day. But that was a tough loss, and I felt like if we didn't learn anything from this loss, we had to do something about it the next year.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Keith the Hammer Hamilton.
Get off my coach's backs. Get off the players' backs. I'm responsible for the whole thing. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, can get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Keith the Hammer Hamilton.
'2000 starts.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and you guys have a pretty good team.
Right.
And the season starts to unfold nicely for you guys. Were you thinking, hey, you know what, we're ready now?
Yeah. I think that we had the right maturity on the team. We were ready to go. We had talked about what we needed to do as a team, and I felt like we were ready to go.
All right, so you guys, though, go a little sideways in the middle of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously famous with Fossil, with the chips in the middle of the table. I'm all in.
Right.
Look, it makes for a great soundbite. Mm-hmm. Giants fans rallied around it. Mm-hmm. Honestly, what are the guys in the locker room thinking?
We believed in Jim, and we knew that he was putting us on his back. He was our leader, and if he could do that, the least we could do was give it everything we had.
All right, so you secure the number one seed
mm-hmm.
in the NFC. How important was that? Forget about the actual thing of knowing you're going to have the games in Giants Stadium, but sort of the mindset of, you know, this is ours. The opportunity is right here for us now.
We felt good about it. Defensively, we were hot. We were playing really well as a unit. Offensively, we were running the ball and we were able to pass the ball. So we were feeling pretty good about where we were at.
How loud was it in Giants Stadium when Ron Dixon returns that kickoff for a touchdown in the playoff game?
It was crazy. It was really crazy, man. It was an unbelievable run. and it was loud. The fans were going crazy. You know, he makes that run, and I hear the fans going, like that. And I was like, what's going on? So I stood up, and I seen him get into the end zone. So it was a great feeling, man.
Did you feel at that point, all right, we got the seven we need, ball game over?
You know, it's funny you mention that because I knew we could do it defensively. We knew we could get after them. We didn't think they were as tough as everybody else thought they were.
How sick was the play that Seahorn made in that game, that interception for touchdown?
I tell you, he was just a phenomenal athlete, man. He could do some things that I had never seen been done before. And he had the speed of lightning. I mean, he was fast. When I turned around, I saw it on the Jumbotron. So I was able to see the replay, and I was like, wow, that was amazing.
You got the NFC Championship game in your building against this crazy offense of the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. What are you guys thinking during the week? What's the talk during the week?
We knew that they had to come in here and play us, and it was going to be cold, and they weren't playing in a dome. So we felt like if we got them out there on that field in that cold weather, we had them. The passing game was going. They weren't able to do anything with it.
How loud was it in that building in that first quarter? I mean, Hilliard scores, mm-hmm. Camella scores, and you guys are just throttling them. Did they look like they wanted to quit?
Yeah. A couple looks I got that everybody was ready to go home. You know, because you can always tell when a player is ready because he started looking around like, I don't want to be here. So it was a good feeling.
This game is over. This game was over in the first quarter. I told these guys in the first quarter, hey, Giants can't be beat, and Minnesota may not score.
Keep them off the board! Keep them off the scoreboard!
When did your mind start wandering to going to the Super Bowl?
24-0 was like really the comfort zone. Because I felt like if we got 24 points, we knew we could control them defensively. So that's when I kind of started thinking, we're heading to the big show.
The final score, the Giants 41, the Vikings nothing. Super Bowl, here we come.
Do you remember what you were thinking, what it was like for you on that field after the game, Mr. Mara, the NFC Championship trophy, and to realize that, you know, you were part of now a great moment in Giants history. And you know what? It's the greatest performance ever by the Giants in that building. In the history of that building, 76 until it closed, there's no greater game played by the Giants from top to bottom than that one.
I just felt like they had invested a lot in us. You know, the core group of guys that they kept together, they believed in us. And it was just good to see him up there holding that trophy.
This is the Giant team that was referred to as the worst team ever to win the home field advantage in the National Football League. And today, on this field of painter's mud, we proved that we're the worst team ever to win the National Football Conference Championship. And I'm happy to say that in 2 weeks, we're going to try to become the worst team ever to win the Super Bowl.
Stay tuned for more Giants Chronicles. Keith the Hammer Hamilton. Welcome back to Giants Chronicles. Keith Hamilton.
The final score, the Giants 41, the Vikings nothing. Super Bowl, here we come.
After a two-year playoff drought, Hamilton and the Giants would be crowned the NFC champions in 2000 after a dominating performance at home in front of their fans at Giants Stadium. And although they'd come up short in Super Bowl 35 versus the Baltimore Ravens, the Hammer had left his imprint on the NFL and in the hearts of the Big Blue faithful.
I left everything I had out there on the field, and that's one thing I can tell you that. Although we didn't win a lot of championships, I thought we represented the tradition that the Giants defense has here.
When you saw Toomer and Michael win that Super Bowl in 2007, how did you feel knowing that those are guys that you had played with in Super Bowl 35 and that, you know, they were born at the right time where they were able to stay around long enough to be a part of that?
I was happy for them because I knew Strahan had worked really hard, and I knew that was the one thing that he didn't have that he wanted. And so I was happy for him. I knew Imani had came into his own and played a long time and played well for us. So I was really happy for the both of them.
Do you have a one or two favorite Keith Hamilton games?
Those Cowboy games. I used to love playing against Larry Allen. And I was talking to a guy who worked at the Cowboys. And he said, who was the toughest guy you ever went against? And he said, Keith Hamilton. That made me feel pretty good.
Keith would retire at the end of the 2003 season after playing his entire career as a New York Football Giant. In his 12 years with the Big Blue, he recorded 63 sacks and 387 tackles. And he will always remember the franchise mantra and the lasting words of Giants patriarch Wellington Mara.
Once a Giant, always a Giant means working hard, being able to come back, see the guys, camaraderie, tradition, the legacies, and just how lucky you are just to be a part and be out there on that field.
By the time Keith Hamilton's career with the Giants was complete, he had gone from a brash defensive end to one of the blue-collar, heart-and-soul defensive tackles of the Giants team. And although Keith did not win a Super Bowl, he played in one in the 2000 season and left his mark as a true Giants warrior. That wraps it up for this week's edition of Giants Chronicles here on MSG. I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week, everybody.